Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
And anyways, I'm Robin, and welcome to Oregon Update, and there's Cliff somewhere on the other side of the windstorm.
Oh, I'm here. I just can hardly hear you. It's all this, it's kind of breaking up a lot.
Yeah, more technology. I'll tell you one thing. This, one thing that's going to go bye-bye as soon as I get some more money is the Dillinger mixer. It causes more problems or whatever. But anyways, welcome to the program. Besides my woes and everything, and we got a lot to talk about today. Cliff, you want to go over some of the list?
Oh, there are a lot of things to talk about. For example, of course, we've got the debates and the primary elections that are going on. That whole thing has changed radically. We've got a winner now in three different states, three different winners, and the last debate or the last primary election that we had with Newt Gingrich coming out on top, that's changing everything. It may be a whole different game than it was before. Rand Paul found himself being patted down, and he wasn't happy. We'll talk about that. There's just a ton of things to talk about today as far as what's going on in the news. For example, one of the things I'm a little upset about that I have mentioned before is we now are licensing nuclear I almost said bombs. It's not bombs. Nuclear generators.
Excuse me, sir. That bomb license?
Really?
You have a permission to blow up that city?
We've got the Europeans are upset about executive pay. We can talk about that. Federal regulations, solar energy, and then, of course, Walt Disney at Obama World. Or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. A lot to talk about, and Cliff already covered it in our little quick snippet there. Is the public once again shows the government that thanks to the internet, and I think that's why they want to put an off switch on the internet, that the public is making their voices heard, and the government's not liking that. But anyways, we'll have all that and more. And but along with your phone calls at 646-721-9887, 646-721-9887, you can join us in our chat room, assuming that that will work today, too, at Blog Talk Radio. You can check, Cliff, do we have the other chat room up and open yet? Or
no, the chat room is up today. I'm sorry, it's not doing its thing for whatever reason, I don't know. We've always got to have some problems.
That's right. It's technology failure indie. It's kind of delayed from Friday the 3rd. But anyway, so you can join us in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio. Unfortunately, if you do not have a Blog Talk Radio account, by the way, which is free, you can only join us as a guest, which means you cannot participate as far as typing, but you can watch what's going on, assuming that that's going to work. So I've been waiting for the last couple of minutes for it to load. In either case, like I said, you can call us 646-721-9887. If you're listening on to the program on the archives, you can always send us emails at talk@krbnradio.com. And this week's show, as always, is sponsored by Dancing Dog Cookies. Make your dog dance with Dancing Dog Cookies. Not actually, but they are homemade by a couple in Eugene, Oregon. They're available online or in selective stores in Lane County and also at Cliff's house with the he's eating all the samples.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, check them out. Your dog and Cliff will like them.
Baked by Dancing Dogs Daily.
Exactly. So, like I say, this is kind of technology failure Monday, and trying to bring up the chat room on another computer as I'm watching little thing go spinny. And, but like I say, give us a call, 646-721-9887. If you've never called a talk show before, today is a good time to give it a try. When you do call that number, you'll get a short entry from Blog Talk. And when you want to talk to us, just push 1 on your telephone and a little flag will come up and we'll go, welcome to the show, area code so-and-so. Unless you're on Skype, then it's all ones or whatever. But no, we got, like I say, we got a lot going on today.
That shakes everybody up when you call Skype and your telephone number is 1111111. Nobody knows. I mean,
nobody knows.
Incognito or something like that.
Or something like that. The anonymity.
Yeah, right.
You're a professional. Well, you say it.
Anyway, getting back to our subject sort of it was supposed to be with Mr. Obama and visiting Disney World and what he's doing in Disney World. I'm upset that he's in Disney World. I don't mind him going to Disneyland, but you know, if you're going to be officially in Disney somewhere, you should be in California, not in Florida. Disney World started, or Disneyland started in California, for heaven's sakes. Let's at least, you know, go to the beginning instead of going. But I know why he's there, because Florida is the next primary state to have their debates and such things. He wants to get there and sort of double duty on his speech, whatever it's going to be. He's going to talk about
I was going to say, I got a couple sound bites here I want to kind of play real quick here, which is, I'll just play it out there and let you comment on it. First of all, though, that I thought it was kind of interesting that, a Mickey Mouse president went to visit Mickey Mouse, and here's what he kind of had to say about that.
And I confess, I am excited to see Mickey. It's always nice to meet a world leader who has bigger ears than me.
Yeah.
Now, if Obama is considering Mickey Mouse a world leader, I'm more scared than I – well, of course, then again, I mean, the Disneyland has been successful.
It's a hell of a lot more of a world leader than Obama is.
That's true. But then again – I've also, another comment that he made during that same speech kind of got my feathers ruffled, and I thought that our goal in the United States was to be a world leader in producing goods and manufacturing and stuff. But apparently I was wrong, according to Obama. Here's what he has to say about that.
I want more tourists here tomorrow. I want America to be the top tourist destination in the world.
Okay, now during his speech, you know, he's saying that the tourist industry creates jobs. Yeah, it does. Minimum wage jobs.
Not necessarily. An awful lot of the people working at Disney Studios and Disney's playhouses and places like that are not minimum wage. There are a lot of them that are, but I would venture to say half of them aren't, because they're designing rides, they're designing different things. There's a lot of people that are not a minimum wage. But, you know, I hate to say this, and I know a lot of people are going to get real upset about my saying it, but we need a lot more minimum wage jobs. We have got a real problem with our unions and with everybody driving the prices, driving the wages up, and driving them up and driving them out of sight of anywhere else in the world. I hate to tell you this, but it's to the point that you can't afford to hire anybody anymore. And all it does is drive the prices of everything up. We've got to bring things down, and hopefully, but I don't think it's going to happen before it all collapses. I think it's all going to collapse first, unfortunately, but we've got to work on that. Excuse me.
No, I agree. You know, we've got to bring things on track and everything, but I don't know. I mean, but with the price of living and everything nowadays, it's, I mean, you can't make it on a minimum wage job. I mean, even our household, we got three.
You mentioned the cost of living. That's my point. By bringing our wages up, by our unions insisting on getting more wages and more benefits and bringing the cost of doing things up, that's what brings the cost of living up. We need to bring wages down, and I'm sorry, but the wages have to be first. And it's hard on everybody, and I know that it is, but they have got to be first. Once they come down, then the cost of doing business and the cost of manufacturing things can come down, and the cost of living will come down. But as long as the wages keep going up, which they're doing, and we're even bringing minimum wages up, as long as those wages keep going up, the cost of living is going to follow it, and it's going to be harder and harder to get along, and it's all going to end, and it's all going to end in a big bang. It's going to be a total collapse, and it's getting really, really close at this particular point. I don't mean to be a doomsdayer, but I am. Doomsday is a real and imminent thing right now.
Yes, doomsday is the word. No, but I totally agree. I mean, yes, it would be nice to make more per hour, but, you know, where does that money come from? It doesn't just come out of this, well, like the government thinks, it doesn't just come out of the sky. The employers and stuff are going to raise, they're going to raise prices to compensate for that. Everything is going to, it's like the domino theory. Everything else is going to be more expensive.
See, that's where our president is out of touch. He doesn't have to worry about that. He can actually say, you know, go make some money, and he means it. He can actually have people go print money. The rest of the world can't do that. We can't. Well, the rest of the country can't do that. Other countries in the world can do that, but that's going to destroy their system, as it is doing right now as well. So we've got to live within our means, and as a country, we're not doing that or even coming close to it now. And it's going to be real interesting to hear his State of the Union address, because he's got to address the fact that he's asking for another $1.2 trillion, rather, and it just can't be there. We've got to stop doing that.
Well, of course, my argument's been, we need to bring the price that the Congress and the President back down to reality. You know, it's like the thing with the SOAP and PIPA, which we'll get into a little bit later in the program. We discussed this on the program, for example, the super committee for the budget. Businesses were donating money to the super committee. Why? Why are they accepting money? Why are people giving them money? Well, for one reason, to kind of sway them into the direction they want to go. Well, the government should not be getting money for that type of stuff. They should be on a salary. You know, they're there to do their job, and they're not there to become millionaires. But that's where it's come now, is that you go into government, a poor person, you leave being a millionaire in a retirement program above none.
Now, that's where we've got to consider this 28th Amendment. We've got to have our government living under the same rules that they make for us. It can't be, you know, do as I say, not as I do. It's going to have to be do as I do and as I say. We've got to – that's one of the places where our government has failed, and that's what everybody is understanding, is that the government has failed, and nobody trusts the government at this point. So that's where we've got to change the government, all of it, or at least a majority of it, so that we can, again, start trusting in our government. If that can ever happen. And so that's why this election is in a few months is such an important election, because this is going to be a complete change in how our government works. If it isn't a complete change in how our government works, then we can look forward to, within a year or two, complete collapse in how our government works.
Oh, totally. In fact, when I'm kind of laughing, and you mentioned this during the intro of the program, is the 28th Amendment and how they don't like anything. Rand Paul, Ron Paul's son, got to meet some of the love from the government as he got to go through the TSA's heartwarming welcome on board to the friendly skies, bringing new men, bringing trying not to laugh and say at the same time. New meaning to the friendly skies.
Yeah, really. And
but,
then, you know, he fought back, and I think that's good that he did. He went through, and the scan wasn't enough. You know, who determines whether that scan is enough? Maybe it's just somebody who's out there. I don't know what Rand Paul looks like. Maybe he's a good-looking guy, and maybe somebody decided they just want to feel him. And so they decided the scan wasn't enough, so they decided to pat him down. And he said no. Good thing. I'm glad he said no. But unfortunately, what happened is they stuck him in a little room and detained him for over an hour in he called it a cubicle. They said that it wasn't just a cubicle; it was more to it than that. But the whole point is they detained him. He missed his flight. He did get another one later, yes, and went through it, and then everything was okay. But not until they screwed him up, and he did have a hell of a scream about this whole thing, and I don't blame him.
It gives new meaning to feeling out a candidate. Sorry.
Yeah.
But
really.
You know, to quote him, he says that probably a matter of semantics, Paul said, he says, I was told to leave a cubicle, or not to leave a cubicle, and when I did step outside of the cubicle, I was sort of surrounded and put back in the cubicle. Seems a little like I was being detained, but when they got tired of detaining me, they evicted me, and then I was told to leave. I think I would have been arrested if I had not done what I was told.
I think so, too. I think he would have been. But, you know, and it's really sad that any one organization can have that kind of or authority. It's just ridiculous. They don't have to explain anything. Well, it just didn't look good, so now we're going to do this. Well, the hell with that. There's got to be some criteria. There's got to be more to it than that. I know they've got this new thing that they've come out with that can scan your body. Even through your clothes and everything else, and from a distance, for that matter, and everybody's a little upset about that. I'm not upset about that. Unless I'm carrying something on my body that I shouldn't be carrying, why should I worry about it? So if you're not breaking law, then you don't have anything to worry about. If you are breaking a law, then I want you to worry about it, because I want to know if you're breaking a law, too.
And if you're done with kids, go through the scanner.
That's right. That's it.
But here's another comment that Ron Paul said that, not Rand Paul, but Ron Paul, and I want to kind of bring this up, says the police state in this country is growing out of control. One of the ultimate embodiments of this is the TSA that gropes and grabs our children, our seniors, our loved ones, and neighbors with disability. The TSA does all this while doing nothing to keep us safe. Well, it's kind of interesting that, you know, they're all, well, most of them are in favor of this until they have to go through it. Well, you can bet
that's
people like Nancy Pelosi and them don't go through this.
I don't think so. And the whole thing is it really doing anything? Is it really keeping us safe? I agree with Ron Paul, or Rand Paul probably says the same thing, but I agree with whoever it is. They're not keeping us safe. It's not helping us. I don't think it's accomplishing anything. I don't, you know, just a basic a scan could tell you whether you've got a bomb or a gun or a weapon, but this business of being so worried about whether you're carrying a cigarette lighter or whether you're, you know, got a pen in your pocket that's made out of metal or something, they're just getting insane about that. What's that?
Or it's just a suspicious cupcake that's quarantined.
And that is totally insane.
I got a cupcake.
That's just so stupid. I don't know if I even want to get into that.
The whole thing here is just like, you know, relate it more to home. I just let's say you go out and spend, I don't know, $10,000 on an elaborate security system. You got all the doors and windows and motion detectors, you know, and thermal detectors and whatever else. You even have a company like Sonatrol or whatever they're called today, you know, listening in. All this great elaborate security. And you have no locks on the front door.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, it's just so crazy today. I do, as long as you bring it up, I want to make a comment about cliff.org, because there is a place online that you can go and you can get some of this equipment, all this security equipment, the cameras, the different things that are available out there. And I want to let you know that it's a lot less expensive than it used to be. Pepper spray, stun guns are available. I'm not an advocate of stun guns, because you have to get close enough with a stun gun to actually touch the person. Granted, you can get them down then, but pepper spray, I think, is a much more logical move than the stun guns. Pepper spray will spray out, and you can get more than one person, and you can get them from a distance. Taking pictures of people inside your home, if people get in your home or are coming close to your home. Nowadays, you can have disguised cameras at a reasonable price. It used to be $1,000 or more before you could get a camera that could take pictures of somebody in your home. Now for $200 or $300, you can get these things that will take pictures, and you can take them out and look at them and find out what's going on with time devices and everything, hidden cameras, digital video recorders, wireless or wired, whatever. Just a real quickie, and to mention that if you want to know more about that, cliff.org, CLIF.DORG. Or .org, rather.
Capitalism is live and well at cliff.org with one F.
There you go, by golly. But it is important. It's a scary time that we're living in this day. It's not like it used to be, and it's nice to know that perhaps being a little bit more safe, or to be able to feel a little bit safer in your own home, is a lot less expensive than it used to be. So it's just a place to go. That's why we've changed to cliff.org to selling that kind of thing, because it's a concerning time in our world nowadays. It's just, it ain't your mama's or your daddy's or your grandpa's America anymore.
Well, besides that, when you think about how much the government is watching you, you might as well turn around and watch them.
Absolutely. No kidding.
It'd be like the old days with Reagan and Russia, you know, and instead of the Cold War, we're going to have camera wars, whichever. Anyways, cliff.org, check it out for really some neat stuff.
You know, and I do want to, since this is an ideal way to move into it, I wanted to bring up today, it was actually today, the Supreme Court ruled unanimously today that police must get a search warrant before you can use GPS to track criminals. Now, that, I think, is just absolutely insane. In other words, their idea, if you're driving a car, they can't stick a GPS device on your car and track you and find out where you go. I think it's the police departments, that's one of the things that they should be able to do. That's not, in my opinion, invading any part of your privacy. If you're driving a vehicle, there's no reason they can't have a GPS device on it, and they've just said that the police department can't. That's really tying people's hands. That's what the whole idea of some of this new technology is about. Why are we inventing all this stuff if we can't use the damn things?
Well, see, that's the same thing about the Oregon one, to put a GPS on your car to track your mileage for the per-mile tax. No, I do not. We're going to play point counterpoint here, folks. I do not want a GPS system on my car, because it's one of the last remaining freedoms that we have. My car is my private property, and I don't want anybody even touching it. Now, as Cliff is saying, as far as law enforcement, if you get a warrant to do it, that's another issue. But to have somebody just to come along in a uniform and just slap a GPS on your car without your knowledge, no, I'm totally against it.
Yeah, but a GPS that they stick on your car is not something you can tell what your gas mileage is and all that sort of thing. That's the kinds that are built in, and I agree, we don't need to build them into the cars. That's not a necessity. I'll get it out there. Still didn't, but anyway, it's not a part of what you should do. It doesn't have to be. What?
I'm not a professional.
Well,
I've been
in
radio for like 200 years, so I can rib him about that.
close to 200 years. But the point is, we're not talking about built-ins. We're not talking about things that are going to cost more money for your car. This is something that if the police have a suspicion that you've done something wrong and they want to know where you went or where you're going, then they can just snap this thing on there with a magnet or something and follow where you're going. And that, I think, should be absolutely acceptable. You're in a car. You're on public streets. You're on public property. Granted, it's your private car, but they've already decided they can take pictures of you through the window, and you can't do anything about that. So why should you have any more privacy with something stuck on your car than you have when you're in your car? It's just absurd. We're not doing this, thinking this thing out properly.
Okay, but where does it stop? I mean, right now, it's really easy to track your cell phone. Why not track everybody's cell phone? Where does it stop? Especially without a court order. You know, they can say that you're suspected of being late on your phone bill, so we're going to track you to see what your habits are.
No, you don't. That isn't at all the same. That isn't even close. That's a private business for one thing, but it doesn't make any difference. We are tracking your cell phones, and if we can track your cell phones, we should be able to track your cars. And if you're going to have something that's available to you that has all this technology in it, then it should be available to everybody, not just to you. We can't decide who can use it and who can't. So if you got your telephone and your telephone has GPS in it and the authorities can follow your telephone because you've got it on, then that's fine. They should be able to do both. And I see nothing wrong with that. I mean, if you're acknowledging
your phone doesn't need to have GPS in it. Your phone doesn't need to have GPS in it. It can just because your phone is a radio. It's a transceiver, and all they have to do is triangulate between three cell towers. They can find out exactly where you are at any given time. You won't even know they're tracking you.
That's fine. I find nothing wrong with that. Absolutely.
Your phone is constantly.
They've been tracing calls for 100 years.
Well, the thing is, your phone is constantly communicating with the cell towers. You know, there's a lot going on that you're not aware about that your phone is doing. And, you know, it's not just when you have the thing sitting idle, it's not just sitting there, you know, going da-da-da-da-da. It's constantly updating itself to the cell towers, or the cell towers are randomly going, you know, where are you at? And it's responding, it responds back. That's how it can tell what zone you're in. So when somebody calls you on your cell phone, the computer knows which cell tower to send it to you because you're in that zone. It's because of that communication. That's why it's really easy for them to just say, okay, I want to know where this phone number is, and all the system has to do is query that phone number, and the phone responds back, and they got you. But the thing is that should you be aware that they are tracking you? Same thing about putting a magnet on your car, if you can find a piece of metal on your car nowadays, to put a magnet on, but, you know, should they be able to do that, especially without a warrant?
Well, see, that's the thing. In my opinion, if you're using a phone, then you should know that you're being tracked, you're watched, or could be. This just exactly like if you're using a house phone. People could trace your house phone, for that matter, if they wanted to. So it's something, it's not something new. It's not something that's just now happening. You know, you're using public airways. You're using public towers. You're using public systems. You should be aware of the fact that that's not private. You can't make a phone call that is private. There is no such thing. Just like people who are just sending emails. If you think your email is private, you're silly. You're absolutely stupid. You know better than to think that anything that you're doing in the public system is private. So, you know, you're driving on public highways. You're driving in public property. It can't be kept private. That's just the whole point of things. You can be kept private in your own home, and if you've got something you want to really be keep private, then do it legally.
Yeah, but you can't be private in your own bathtub anymore, almost.
I don't do anything in my bathtub. I care about anybody either, so I'm sorry.
Well, if you do in your bathtub, I don't want to know anyway, so that's beyond the point.
The point is, you know, if you're worried about things that you shouldn't be doing, unless you're doing something that's illegal, and nothing that I would ever do in my bathtub is illegal, so there's no reason I should worry about it. It may be immoral. It may be something that I don't want my neighbors to see or watch, but it's not illegal. I don't do things that are illegal. If I do things that are illegal, I should be ready to pay the consequences, and that's just all there is to it. So if they want to track my car, and follow my car. If they want to spend all that money and all that time doing that, more power to them, because they're going to find out I didn't do anything.
Well, we'll see if your car ever does get tracked or put a GPS on it. Let's see if you change your story or not. But the way things are going, just like we did a story a couple weeks ago, where this one mayor was offering a $1,000 reward to turn in your neighbor if they had illegal weapons. I mean, that's my point. Where does it stop?
In the words you used, if they had illegal weapons, that's breaking a law.
Yeah, but just like this year alone, and one of these days I'm going to sit down and figure out how many it actually works out, like 40,000 laws in a year. I mean, what does that work out to per day that they're passing? You cannot follow a law nowadays without breaking a law.
Well,
I
understand what you're saying, and I understand the situation. And I agree that we need to at least pay attention to what our laws are, because that's why, again, we've got to – this is a very, very important election. Our system and our country and our government is out of control. Everybody is watching you, and we've got to get to the point that we are controlling what's going on again. We can't continue on like this. Everybody is a spy, and everybody's being spied on. And so we've got to I'll still say again, we need to have all of our laws expire. They all need to expire, whether it be 5 years or 10 years or whatever, but they all need to expire. We can always put them back in place, but we need to have some sort of control so that we know what's there. That's just like our tax structure. How many thousands and thousands and thousands of pages is the IRS system being controlled by? Nobody ever reads it. Nobody understands it. Nobody continues to know what's being said or what's on that. And nobody's going to read what's going on. That's why we need to change it. That's one of the things that's going on. That's one of the things that the candidates are talking about. And that's the one thing we've got to consider. We've got to start reining in what's going on. The government can't be that big. The government has to be scaled down in size so that the rest of the world can understand what's going on. The rest of it, I keep referring to fact.
And to throw it out there, too, as you're bringing up the IRS, especially if Obamacare continues in 2014, the IRS is going to become a health care collector, because if you don't have qualifying, and emphasis on the word qualifying, health care, you're going to pay a penalty at the end of the year, which can range from $745 to I think it's 2.5% of your gross income that the IRS will be collecting if you don't have health care or qualifying health care. But speaking of qualifying, I want to quickly give out the phone numbers again, 646-721-9887. Give us a call, as somebody else is calling on the
646-721-9887. Hello, I'll get it out. 646-719-887 is the telephone number to call. And we'd love to hear from you, because I know you've probably got an opinion about all of this sort of thing that's going on. But right now, I do want to mention again, let's see, I've got it on one of these things here, the debate. We have a debate coming up tonight on NBC, and this is going to be kind of an interesting debate, because this is the first one. It's on a major network on television, NBC, plus the fact it's going to be on at 9 o'clock, right in the middle of prime time, 9 o'clock on the East Coast, and then they'll have the light version at 9 o'clock on the West Coast. Now, so 9 o'clock tonight is the time, and it only can be a 90-minute debate this particular time. The major networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, oftentimes don't run a full two-hour debate, which is kind of sad, but they don't. That's all right. We'll go with that. And then there's another one coming up on Thursday, I believe it is, and that'll be on CNN, and that's a full two-hour debate. But the point is, tonight at 9 o'clock, and take a look and pay attention, because it's going to be something of interest. I'm sure it really is. And then tomorrow, even more to the point, is the Obama's State of the Union address, And he's going to be continuing with his rhetoric that he's been polishing up for the last few weeks and months. And so, you know, whether you want to call this a State of the Union address or his re-election campaign, it's all wrapped up into one, which I find is a kind of a problem. But what can you do about it? This State of the Union address is required by the U.S. Constitution, and so he's got to do it.
Are you going to listen to the State of the Union address, or who really cares anymore?
I definitely am going to listen to the State of the Union address. I care. I want to know what he has. Does he have any ideas at all? You know, this business of you make sort of light of the idea of the tourism thing and bringing people into the United States. I agree with that. I go along with what President, at least what he's saying. Now, what he's going to do, I don't know if that's going to be anywhere near what he's saying. But if we can actually make it easier to get in here, to be a visitor and to go to the wherever it happens to be you want to go to, a water slide or whatever you want to do, I want to make it easier. I want to make it more. I mean, I don't believe that's an answer to our economic problems by even a close mile. But I still I agree with making it easier. What I don't agree with is the fact that he should be able to use this White House address that is required by law, and of course it's going to be carried by all of the major networks for free. I don't believe he should be able to use that as a re-election campaign speech, which is what he's also going to be doing. And, you know, again, I don't know, I hadn't thought about this until just the last day or so, but he's being given a huge amount of advertising time free on television because it is the State of the Union address. But I don't want to even hint that it shouldn't be broadcast because I want to know what he's talking about. I want to know what he's doing. But I'll tell you, everybody else should be getting equal time.
Well, I totally agree. But, you know, again, what they're saying is all going to be a pep rally. It's not really going to be, you know, anything. Well, we really need to do this. We need to do that. It's just like what Obama was saying as far as his Disney business, that I want America to be the number one tourist attraction. It's like, God.
I think we are. I think America is the number one tourist attraction, to be very honest with you. But the more we can get, the better. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with him uttering that sentence or that phrase. But what my point is he's going to say a lot of things, and then he's just going to forget them. He's going to ignore them. That doesn't, you know, you can say anything. I don't think the State of the Union address should be all these things that he's talking about doing or thinking is great. He should be an actual legitimate look at what he has done for America so far. And if that's the case, if he actually sat down and looked at what he's literally done for America, we'd probably be, booting him out of office tomorrow.
Okay, I missed that last part again, Cliff.
I'm saying that if he were to actually do a State of the Union address and to tell everybody what he has done in the last 3 years, we'd probably be booting him out of office tomorrow. I keep losing her. She's doing other things.
I'm still here, Cliff. You want to quickly give out the contact information? Again, I got something going on in the background. I do apologize, and I'll be right back with you.
646-721-9887. Come on and give me a call. You know, you've got to have some sort of an opinion about this whole thing with Obama and what he's got to say and what he's doing, because it is important. You know, he's the only one who has totally to control over the press. I mean, if he asks for time on the television or on the radio, chances are he's going to get it. The other people don't get it. Now, they're getting a lot. I agree. I like this business of the campaign, debates, because we get to see more about what people are doing and what they're thinking than we have ever been able to do before. And it has made a huge a difference. I think in this last primary election in South Carolina, it made a big difference because we finally get, we're getting down, we've only got four people on the debates right now, only four people running at this particular point that are talking. Basically, only three people that are being given legitimate position. Ron Paul, in my opinion, isn't being considered legitimate, although he has, one of the things he's done is he's said all along, and not just now and recently since, but he has said all along, what he's here and what he's still sticking in there for and what he's being so adamant about running for is he wants to get his opinion. He wants to get his ideas out there. And he has done that over and over and over again, and it has done a very good job. I was looking at a thing that was talking about the NBC thing, and they had comments about what's going on. And, of course, if you look at any time there's a place to comment, you'll find that the majority of the comments are from Ron Paul people. They dominate. They are there. They are adamant. They are forceful. They are verbose. They can usually speak well. Some of them get a little carried away. But they're mostly Ron Paul people, and that's fine. I think that's great. The problem is the mainstream folks have been a little concerned that perhaps Ron Paul is a little too far. I don't know whether you want to call it left or right or whatever it is. He's a little far off.
Not extreme, basically.
Yeah, he's
more out there, so to speak. He's not really a mainstream player, and I think that, and because of his age, is probably why he's not being taken seriously. And also, in my opinion, when I've watched one or two of the debates, he doesn't really stick to the. You know, somebody asks him a question, he doesn't really answer the question, in my opinion. But
well, he does have a problem with that. He has so many things to say and so much to say that he does get a little carried away and get off on tangents at times. But his basic thing, I agree with. I mean, the particular thing that I agree with, his grasp of what's going on financially in this country is very, very good. And I'm afraid he's going to be right, definitely right, because we've got to do something about our tax codes. We've got to do something about our financial situation. We've got to do something about our banks, because what I heard the other day, if it's too big to fail, then it's too big to exist. That's just right. All there is to it. If it's too big to fail, then it shouldn't be there at all. So we should let it fail and get rid of it and make it different. Our banks could be broken up and put in smaller pieces and help a lot more people than we are right now and be a lot more logical. And as for one, I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but when we had the one bank fail, and somewhere we lost over $1 trillion. We lost $1 trillion. That's a lot of money just to lose, and we don't know where it went. Well, of course we know where it went. It went in a bunch of people's pockets, all in bunches and bunches of little pieces, and it's untraceable. So we've got to be able to have more control over what's going on financially in our country, but we've also got to be bringing back our people. We are giving away too much money. We are giving away too much money in foreign aid. That's got to stop. And we're giving away too much money. What?
Well, I agree with you there. But also, let me throw out there, too, is that one of the international companies I used to work for, about 10 years ago, the common thing was that, we don't have to worry about it. You know, this company has deep pockets. They're going to be around forever. 8 years later, they closed. They've been closing factories all over the world. They're not a major player in the markets anymore. You know, when you have that attitude that you're too big to fail, or you have really deep pockets, you get careless. And when you start getting careless and sloppy in a business, that's when you have problems. And that same thing, think like you're just saying with the government too. We are borrowing money from China, and on the other hand, we're giving money away or loaning it to somebody else. You know, and they're, you know,
stop
that,
doing
that does not make
We've got to bring our military home. If we're going to spend money, I didn't say we should fire them or turn them loose without a job. We bring them home and use our military at home. We still have them there. We can still train them. We can still have them ready to go. If we have a problem in the world, it doesn't take much longer now to deploy troops from Texas as opposed to deploying them from Germany or someplace overseas. It's very little difference because we have the ability to do that. And so it could make a lot of difference, however, in where the troops are spending their money. If we've got them in Germany, they're spending money in Germany. If we've got them in France, they're spending money in France. If we've got them in China, we're spending money in China. Let's bring them home, have them spend their money here. Maybe it's going to take 40 minutes longer to get them from Texas or wherever they're going to be to wherever they're going to go. 40 minutes is not going to be a deal changer in anything that's going to happen in this world today. The big thing
it's like a chess game. You know, if you have all your pawns on the other side of the board, your king is now vulnerable to attack, and it takes too long to get reinforcements back over to protect the king. And that's kind of my opinion where we're at now. We have porous borders. Our troops are scattered all over the world, and if something did happen here, plus the fact we're cutting back on our military, if something did happen over here, we wouldn't be able to defend ourselves. We're making ourselves, in my opinion, very vulnerable.
Well, see, people are using exactly the same argument that you just did for everything, because things are happening all over the world, not just here. We don't worry too much more about protecting our own borders. We're worried more about protecting other people's borders, and we've got to stop that. I think we do need to bring everybody back, right back here. It saves everybody a lot of money. We can still deploy them. We can still get them to other places in the world just fast enough to do that, and we should keep our stupid noses out of most of the things that are going on in the world and not try to step in and think we can control the world or protect the world or whatever. If somebody needs help, let them ask for it. When they ask for it, we can get there fast enough to take care of it. But then we need to commit ourselves. We need to actually commit ourselves, not just go in there and say, well, we're not actually doing this. We're just sort of helping a little here and there. You know, if we're going to go to a war, declare a war. If we're not going to declare a war, keep our asses out of it and keep our butts home. And there's so many places that we've been doing this all the wrong way. And looking at Iran and what's going on with Iran right now, Iran is threatening to do this, threatening to do that. We need to just leave our troops at home probably leave some of our comments at home and some of our opinions at home until something actually happens that affects us. And then we need to decide what to do. If we're going to do it, we need to step in and do it right. If not, stay out of it. Stay out of it. We cannot control Iran. We shouldn't even try to control Iran. But if something happens and Iran is trying to do something to us, then we should step in and literally control Iran and take over. We could do that. And I have no problem that we could do it very easily, but we've got to decide to do it or not to do it, but not of this halfway in between crap.
Well, the thing is, we have the reputation of being a paper tiger. I mean, back in the days where there were the beheadings and lots of hostages, I vaguely remember a story where I can't remember who it was that at the time that was holding the hostages, so forgive me for that, but I do remember that there was three different hostages from three different countries. And one of them was Russia. It was ours and Russia. And, you know, we were trying to negotiate to get our hostages back. Russia basically just said, she's got 24 hours to release them or we're getting involved. And when Russia ruffles their feathers, people listen. Nobody messes with Russia. But for us, you know, we're a paper tiger. We, you know, back when George Bush Jr., when we did 9/11, when he actually stood up and for a few minutes, I was actually proud of him. It says, you know, we are going after these people. I mean, other countries were actually starting to get a little worried. It's like, what's going on here? We actually have a president with a little bit of gonads? And, of course, it's going to be a political.
The sad part is we did have a president with some smarts. We did go after him. We did do a war. The thing is, once we won the war, we didn't know what to do with him. We didn't know what to do about it. We just let it go, and we threw everything away, that all of the things that we had accomplished, we just threw away. And then we just hung around for 10 years and spent a lot of money and a lot of time instead of cleaning it up and taking care of it and doing what we're supposed to do. And that's the thing is, you know.
We apologize for winning.
Yeah. Well, you know, I listen to Newt Gingrich when he talks, because he mentions the fact, you know, we won a world war in 3.5 years. What are we doing in Afghanistan for 10 years, in Iraq for 10 years? What are we doing there? That is not something we need to do. We can do something and do it fast and get it out of the way. And we should be doing that. We should be more decisive about what we're doing and let the world know that you've got this line. You can go to this point, but you cross this point, and we stop you. Simple as that.
Exactly. Yeah, it should be, I mean, take the money out of it, per se, because people make money off wars, unfortunately.
Absolutely.
But, you know, like you said, is that, like my Russia example, is that if the United States get involved, we're going over there with our gloves off, and we're going to go over and do the job and get out. We're not going to do any of this, oh, we're sorry, we're going to give you a whole bunch of money to help you out to rebuild. You know, I'm sorry, war is hell. I'm sorry, and that's the way it should be. But now, of course, they're trying to change it with all the robots and everything that we're sending over. And, you know, it's kind of like a Star Trek episode where they made war a clean thing, and there's no reason to get rid of it.
So I see here on the chat room an interesting thing. Somebody asked the question, do people really believe that the USA won World War II on its own? I don't think we won World War II on its own, and I don't believe anybody believes that, or I hope they don't believe that, and I'm not really trying to indicate that we did do it, but we did do it by at least declaring a war and at least going over and asking for help from other people and working with other people about what the thing was. You don't just kind of stick your toe in and hope for the best. You have to declare something. You have to make your statement, your intentions known, and we did that with World War II. And by doing that, and by however we did it, whether we did it with help from somebody else or not help from somebody else, we did it in 3.5 years, not in 10 years. And in 10 years, we still haven't finished. You know, we drew our troops out of Iraq. They're having trouble in Iraq again already, mostly because we didn't accomplish anything. We didn't do anything. We changed everything. That's granted. We disrupted everyone. That's granted. But we didn't leave them over there with any idea of how to control themselves. Basically, I think what we didn't do is we didn't understand what was going on in Iraq, and we just went in and make a big noise. And we've got to pay a little more attention to what we're doing than that. We've got to consult with other people.
And to learn from history, too. I want to throw this out. You know, right now we're talking about the budget. Well, one thing that kind of helped the world wars is, and I don't know if they still have this or not, but what about government bonds?
Oh, yeah. What about them?
Well, you don't hear any advertisement for that anymore because, you know, that's one of the ways that they used to use to help raise some money. You know, we need to pay down a deficit.
We still have government bonds, but the problem right now is the fact that the government bonds, when you buy a government bond, the government has to pay you interest, or they promise to pay you interest, and we don't have any money to pay interest on something like that. You know, we're borrowing more money from other governments. We've got this borrowing thing has got to end. That wasn't the idea of government bonds. Well, it was originally, but the point is we've got to change our system. We've got to come up with a way to pay the bills rather than pass out more money.
Oh, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. Like I said, if we ran our own households like that, we'd all be bankrupt and living on the street. In fact, there's a lot of people that are exactly in that same situation. You know, we just can't go to our creditors and our credit card holders and say, you know what, I'm kind of maxed out my card, and, you know, I think that we should go ahead and raise my limit. Yeah, you max out your card, and they're going, we're increasing your minimum payment, and if you don't make it, we're going to start foreclosure.
Well, we've got the whole world can't live on credit. This is something I went way back when I was in high school. I caught onto this idea and I never said anything to anyone. But the simple is, it's scary. It's absolutely scary at this particular point that everybody thinks that they can live on credit. Everybody thinks they can spend more than they can make. You can't do that. We individually can't do that. We as a country can't do that. The whole world is doing it at the moment. Not just, you know. I don't know. I guess I should sit down and try to figure out who started all this. I suppose it wasn't us. It was probably Europe. You know, those countries have been around a lot longer than we have. But the point is, whoever started it, it's got to end. We've We've got to rein in and not spend more than we take. Not spend. We're actually in debt for more than our entire gross national product is at this moment. At this moment, we don't make enough products or money in the whole United States to pay for the bills. So all we can do is hope to pay for some of the interest, and then we're never ever going to pay for the bills. So we can't live that way. We've got to change things so that there is a little bit more logic in what we're doing. And the president that we have is not that way. He's decided that make the government bigger and then make everybody in the United States beholden to the government. Well, I don't want to be that way. That's just not the way it's going to work. The whole world can't do that. And ask Greece and Italy and a couple of other countries that are at this particular point in big trouble. Unfortunately, I look at the news and it says, you know, Greece is close to collapse, and so is the United States. We're all in the same boat here, and we've got to rein it all in. We've got to figure out how to take care of ourselves, and we aren't doing it right now.
Well, like the person in the chat room is saying, is that, you know, money isn't physical anymore. And, I mean, which is true, but imagine if we still had the old, you know, if we were still running off the gold standard and, you know, when the value of gold reached its point, what's the government going to do? It couldn't print any more money. There's nothing to back it up. So, it, like the rest of us, it'd be forced to make drastic changes.
Well, that's my point, is we shouldn't have to print money. We shouldn't have to have something to back it up. We shouldn't be spending more than we take in. We shouldn't be spending more than we have. It can all be, you know, that's what's called a balanced budget. And we can work out a balanced budget. It's possible to do. And that's why, again, I keep pushing Newt Gingrich. And obviously people are paying attention because Gingrich is actually winning at this particular point. But he's the only one who actually has ever had the idea of how to do it. He takes credit, I agree, for more than he really probably has done, but not that much more. I mean, whether he did it by himself or whether he asked other people to help him or whether he inspired other people to help him or whatever he did, during the time that he was in there and pushing for these things, they got done. So we need to get him back there. And if it doesn't work, granted, we may have 4 years of unfortunate instances again, but it couldn't be any worse than we've had this 4 years. So let's at least take a chance. And I think we probably can could do a lot in that 4 years to clean up things that we haven't.
But I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of something you said regarding this president about, well, what did 4 years hurt?
Well, the point I'm making is we put – I didn't consider the fact that this president that we put in there not only didn't have experience of being a president, he didn't have experience at anything. He had experience at absolutely nothing. He'd done nothing before we put him into office. The only – well, I don't want to say that. I mean, the point is
the point is that we don't have the checks and balances in place to – well, first of all, to keep control of our government officials. And secondly, Congress and the House, you got to throw in there too as to blame, because they're so self-centered in all their little things. They're not even doing their job. Kind of exasperated the problem that we have now, because the Congress and the House are supposed to be kind of the checks and balances, the reason for them being there. But I think that the whole point or the honor of being in such a role has gone away. Like I said earlier, that they go in for these, you know, they preach that, well, you know, we're going to create jobs, we're going to lower taxes, we're going to save the world, there's going to be a chicken in every pot, and which I'm sure the chicken unit would probably appreciate, I don't know. But the whole point is that it used to be an honor to be a representative. Now they're just going in it to become millionaires, and that's one of the things that, you know, has got to change. You know, same thing like, you know, creating 40,000 laws in 1 year, and most of those laws don't affect them.
Well, that's the thing. It's all right if we can create 40,000 laws in a year, but they have to affect everybody. They have to be laws controlling everybody. We can't have the Senate and the House sitting back and saying, well, but we make the rules, we don't have to follow the rules. That's not true. If you make a rule, you have to be prepared to follow it. And that's, you know, the same thing with the Supreme Court. If they're going to make a rule, they have to follow the rule. We can't have this business of somebody, you know, this is not a country ruled by a king. A king can make a rule, and he doesn't have to follow the rule. He's the king. We don't have a king, ready or not. And we're not, cannot, you know, we've set ourselves up with the Senate being a king and the House being another king and the President being another king. They all think they're the king. Not the case. We've got a caller.
No, we don't.
We don't?
But I do want to get the phone numbers out, 646-721-9887. If you would like to call, we got 30 minutes remaining in the program. I do want to kind of touch, take the 30 minutes, though, and talk a little bit about the public did it again. The government tried to sneak through a bill called SOPA and PIPA, which is the Internet Freedom Act, and I'll get you the exact meanings of that. I'm going to figure out what screen I put it on. But one is the anti-piracy, and the other one is the Internet Protection Act. And Google and Wikipedia both made a really good point. Wikipedia went offline for a whole day, and a lot of people do depend on Wikipedia. And Google put up their little barrier or whatever showing what would happen if these laws pass, and set up an online petition, which got over 7 million signatures in a day. 7 million. And there were 29 representatives that were in favor of this bill and that withdrew because of the outcry from the public. It's like, don't you touch our internet. So anyways, they... with SOPA and PIPA stalled, there's another one which is being introduced by our senator in Oregon, Ron Wyden, called the Open Act, O-P-E-N. And that's the basically what they're promoting it as is that it will pretty much follow the current copyright rules and regulations out there instead of...
Well, you know, I understand what this ruling was all about. There's two things that I think happened here. One, I agree that we should have some control over who can download things, who can steal things and give them to someone else, and that is out of control at this particular time. I don't have an actual answer as to how that can be controlled. I don't think this was the answer, so I'm glad that this was being reconsidered at this particular point. But the thing that impressed me is the fact that the whole world has now changed. You can't, as a government, whether it's our government or somebody else's government, you can't sit there and make a law or a rule or a statement and have it unsubstantiated. You can't, because the whole world, it's too easy to get online and have somebody do something. The world, you know, you can say that you can try to cut the internet off to somebody, but that can't be done either. The internet is there, and fortunately, and then depending on which side you're on, it's there to stay. I think we're not about to lose it, and you can't just shut down certain parts of it or anything else. It's going to be there. And if the government were to try to shut the whole thing down, they could probably slow it down a little bit, but it would be right back in a very short period of time because it's available on too many different sources. It's not in just one place. There's no central anything for the internet. And so we're never going to get the internet to totally go away. So it's the one way we have of controlling the world, and that's the big difference between what our world is like today and what our world was like a few years ago. And this has happened extraordinarily fast. Think about it. This has happened in like 10 years that the whole world has made huge, huge changes. None of these things, the uprising in Egypt, couldn't have happened without the internet. I mean, the people want to say, well, it couldn't happen without Twitter or Facebook. That's probably true. If it wasn't Twitter or Facebook, it would have been something else. But the internet itself is what's doing it. And they've tried to cut the internet off in different countries, and you can't do it. You can't make it go away. It's not going to happen. You can always get on there one way or another, even if it's Wi-Fi from one block to the next. It can still work that way because that's the way it's set up. It's a whole different world. And it's also not just the internet, but cell phones and telephone system is all a part of this. It's all a big interconnected world that cannot be broken up. It can't be disturbed or just, I don't know what
well,
word
the thing is that what the governments don't like about it is because it's an uncontrolled media. And the worst thing governments don't want is people to talk. I mean, even doing a show like this one here, you know, we're getting out, we're broadcasting worldwide, you know, to just anybody, and anybody can call in at 646-721-9887. I got to throw that in. And express their opinion. It's a free, for the moment, is a free system of communications. You know, when things go awry in other worlds, for example, it used to be shortwave radio. In fact, still is shortwave radio, where you could get the truth about what's going on instead of what's been filtered through the media for what they want you to hear. But this act that they want to do, the Stop Online Piracy Act and the Protect Intellectual Property Act, which is the SOFA and PIPA, would have put a huge break on the freedoms that we would have and allow the government to literally block and close down websites. Anything from, you know, putting a link to another web page could get you in trouble.
Okay, I agree that it could get you in trouble, but I don't believe that the government, anybody's government, could stop it. They don't think they could actually control it entirely. Now, the point is, it's whether we want to sit back and allow the government to fine us for doing this or doing that or doing something else or not. Now, there are laws. That's the thing that's going on right now. One of the reasons I agreed with this, putting a hold on everything. We have laws to control some of this stuff, almost all of this. And if we would start enforcing the laws that we have, then perhaps that would be the way around this. The Motion Picture Association people, I feel for them because they aren't getting their money for what their property is. But the thing is, they have gone after people with the law, and they've made a big dent in things. You can't control all the people all the time, and I don't care who you are. So, you know, the simple fact is perhaps maybe the answer would be, instead of trying to not allow people to have your product, maybe you should put your product out there and available at a reasonable price so that people would be more inclined to actually buy it rather than steal it.
Well, that's a good argument there, and I agree with that. Not that I'm advocating that people steal it, but you're right. You know, if you make it more affordable. I mean, just like with CDs, for example, a good example. Back in the days where at 45s, you can go buy just one song. You're not going to go spend $15 to buy an album or a CD that has only one song that you like on it. You have to buy the whole darn CD. And, you know, but you used to be able to just go buy the one song for 99 cents or something like that. But
You can still buy the one song, but the problem is they still want to charge you a dollar for that one song. You used to go buy a 45 for a buck, but that 45 cost money to manufacture it, cost money for the materials, the plastic, and so on. And so you only made, say, 50 cents. But now they're still charging a dollar for a song, which costs them absolutely nothing. The download is not costing them the time. It's not costing them the money. They aren't acknowledging the fact that things happen to make things cheaper. So if they would sell these songs for 50 cents instead of a dollar, we'd have a whole lot more people inclined to go and download each individual song. Same thing with movies. You know, they want $10 for a movie. If you buy the DVD, or even more in some cases, there's no reason. If you're going to go and download it, I wouldn't be opposed to downloading a movie if it was going to cost me a dollar to download a movie. You know, that would be a little more logical in my experience, because, again, it's not costing the film company any money to do that, to speak of. They have to put up a website, and they have to put it online and make it available. But if they did make it available for a dollar, I'm sure this would get huge more people downloading the movies and paying the dollar than are taking the chances of going out and trying to get things for free and taking a chance of getting in trouble for it. So, you know,
well,
in
the back of your story, this was on a talk show last night. Now, I can't remember the name of the author, but through a legitimate company, he had his online book, and sales were not that great. I think it was like, I don't know, 30,000 or something like that. They weren't really all that great. And so what he did on his own is that he went to one of those pirate sites and pirated his own book, put it out there for, like you're saying, a lot less, and sold hundreds of thousands of copies. Again, I don't remember the exact number, but his publisher was going, what are you doing? You're pirating your own book. Yes, but it quickly became a number one seller because he went and did it this way. In other words, making it so more people can buy it. So in the long run, he made more money doing it that way than going through legitimate things where they're trying to make more money or, you know, charging a higher price and have less volume.
Again, it's a lot of people will say, well, it's greed. Everybody is too greedy. I don't know if it's greed or if it's just stupidity. But either way, somebody should get some smarts to understand how to do this sort of thing and what to do, because they're not doing it right. And it's, you know, the thing is, you know, there's got to be a...
It came back down to just like, they're talking about, like with the intro song that we had about, you know, Congress can be bought instead of, you know, reelected, et cetera. That I don't have it in front of me is that, you know, starting way back in the player piano days, you know, the producers have been out there, you know, trying to make like the scrolls for player pianos illegal. When VCRs came out, they wanted to make that illegal because you could copy television programs, cassette tapes. They didn't like that because you could record songs off the radio. You know, they're constantly coming out and trying to make things illegal, and then they turn around and find a way to make money at it.
Well, that's fine.
They found out that by actually renting the movies out, they can, you know, people that don't go to the theater or don't have time to go to the theater, they can make money by renting the movie or buying the movie.
Yeah, I'm all for that. But we've got to get more. You know, they're going to go through these machinations, and sooner or later somebody's going to come up with the answer, and I don't know what it's going to be. But going out and making laws, again, I'm so dead set against making all these stupid laws. It's just insane to make all these crazy laws over and over and over again, making all these stupid laws, because you're not going to be able to hold on to all these laws. We've got to get rid of some of these laws. And it gets to the point that you're not going to be able to, like you say, you're not going to be able to do anything, because no matter what you do, you can go somewhere and find a law that says, no, you can't do that. And somewhere, you know, I agree that somebody who made up this law, they may have had a good reason for it, but you don't do it in the form of a law. First of all, we need to have a tendency to get back to our moral society. Our society itself has basically lost most of its morals. We need to get back to do unto others as much as anything, and get back to our moral society. We're becoming a very decadent society. I am not advocating any kind of religion or that sort of thing, but we would be better off if we did have a little bit more religion in our society. This business of saying you can't pray in school, you can't, you know, there have been a couple of instances where recently, I don't remember who it was, but I saw it on television the other night, where a governor, I think it was, of a state, said you can't do all these things, you can't pray in school, you can't have certain books, you can't have, in this country and in this world, for that matter, you've got to back off of this sort of thing. We've got to learn that individuals have to have morality, not being legislated by state controls and state rules. You can't legislate morality. Simple as that. You can try, but it's not going to work.
Well, and also the fear of being sued. I'll give you a short example. The other day, one of my coworkers on his semi had a dead battery. We didn't have any cables, but you know, we went over to one of the other companies to see if we could borrow cables, and they said, "Nope, sorry, can't do it because if something happens, we're afraid we'll get sued."
Yeah,
can't loan you a set of jump cables.
That's a sad position too that we are in, and that's you know. Again, my quick inclination is to say, well, we need a law that says you can't sue for more than X amount because it's just absurd. But again, we don't need it by a law. What we need to do is get back to morality. We do, to spend our time, again, do unto others. You wouldn't want somebody else to do it to you, so let's do it to them. We've got to get back to...
I think we're getting there because, like, for example, like this this protest against SOPA and PIPA, for example, an estimated 10,000 websites went dark, and like I said, more than 7 million people signed the Google petition. And if you take a look at everything that has happened in 2011 and 2012 already, how people are standing up. You know, we have the Occupy movement that started out in Wall Street and went viral, which is a new word, nationwide. We have Bank of America, who is going to charge a fee. You know, people stood up and said, no, we're not going to do it. Verizon wanted to charge a $2 fee for the convenience of paying online, changed their mind the next day because of the outcry of the people. People are getting tired. And thanks to the Internet, you know, like the SOPA and PIPA thing, we'd never know that that was even being introduced if it wasn't for the Internet.
And the Internet stopped it from being introduced as well. And that's why my point is the Internet has made a change. The whole world, it's not just the United States, but the world has come to a different place. We are in a different position than we have ever been before in the history of time. And it's not going to go back anymore. Again, it's going to stay this way. And we're going to have to be more logical about what we do and how we think and what we charge and how moral we are. You got to decide what is morality at this particular point. And I think we're coming up against a big, big, big change in how people think of themselves as much as anything else.
Well, and I think what's going to happen is, like I say, and if you believe the conspiracy theorists out there, you never know because The big problem is that there's money and power at stake here. And, you know, the people at B don't want they say they want people to get involved and vote. No, they don't. Every time like a Ross Perot or somebody else comes by, Herman Cain, that comes out of nowhere and rallies the troops, so to speak, they do their best to shut them down because that's the last thing that the people in power want is for things to change. They don't want to lose that power. They don't want to lose that money that they make.
That's where the Internet steps in because, you know, it's gotten to the point now it doesn't take big money to get the information out there. It doesn't take big money or big business and or government to let people know what's going on and let people understand what's going on. That's the big change right now. You can vote if you want to and change what you want. You know, it is important to vote, but it's going to make a difference as to how who you vote into the office does their job because they are now being watched by millions and millions of people, billions of people, and those millions of people, a whole good number of them can get right on there and make their opinions known, and they can do it over and over and over again. And that's what I really like. I President Obama right now, I just saw here that his job approval point has gone down again. It was 57% was approved of him last year, 47% approved of him. No, 44% have job approval this year. So, you know, little things like that can be, you know, it can happen overnight. We can find out this information overnight. And that's the big change. You don't have to wait for anything. And consequently, that's going to be the big change in how the world is going to act and react in the next few years. And the big difference, of course, is how we spend our money and the getting somebody in there. If you know, I did mention that 4 years, you know, what can he do in 4 years? And yes, he could do a lot and make a big mess in 4 years. But in reality, we're going to be able to take back again the next 4 years and straighten it out, or at least try to straighten it out. And if the guy messes it up, he's probably going to mess it up different. And we can still go in 4 years. Maybe we need to make our terms of office less than that. I don't know. But we're going to be finding and knowing soon, because we've got the internet to tell us what to do.
Well, here's the thing, though. It's just like, well, like I always said, there's no point in running a third party because you have zero chance of even being considered to be elected. And that's because of the Electoral College. You know, we can go out there. I mean, on the radios, the talk shows, you know, I very, very seldom hear anybody defend Obama. I mean, rarely once in a while somebody would come in, but their arguments don't really hold much water. And like you just said, the approval rating is very low and everything. But the problem is that all they have to do is convince those people of the Electoral College, like they've done twice in America's history, to vote for Obama, and he's back in office. And we have no say over it.
Well, actually, we do have a say over it. We have a big say over it. You know, the Electoral College isn't quite that cut and dry. We do elect the people who are the Electoral College. They don't have to necessarily vote for what we have voted them for. But if they didn't do it, I think a third time right now, if the Electoral College didn't go the way that we, the populace, voted, I don't think there would be Electoral College very long after that. That's part of the tremendous weight of the Internet, the influence of the Internet, because it can happen very quickly that everybody can get mad. And I mean, you know, same thing with the SOPA and this whole big thing that we just went through. You know, if the whole world or the whole United States sat there and was upset about what took place in that last election, and we all sent a message of some sort to our senators and representatives, believe me, things are going to change real quickly. And this can all happen so fast now that it's a whole different world. I don't think that this Electoral College argument is going to continue, and it's going to really play out again. They're not going to. It's not going to be a big thing again ever.
I don't know. Every election there's an outcry about revamping the Electoral College or getting rid of it, and that's about all it is. It's an outcry. A few things are said, then it's forgotten for the next 4 years, and that's pretty much, I'll bet you, what's going to happen is that, let's say Obama gets reelected, not because of popular vote, but because of the Electoral College, and they'll just say, well, you know, sorry, that's just the way it is. You can make all the noise you want, but, you know, we're going to have the inauguration on this date. Too bad, so sad.
I don't think that's going to happen.
System, if you don't like our system, well, then work on changing it, and that's what they say every election, and that's about as far as it gets.
Well, see, I know you have a real upset with the Electoral College. I don't find the Electoral College nearly as damning as you seem to think it is. I sat down and read what is going on and what it takes place, and there's not many people that are going to have the guts to get out there and vote against all the people that put them in the position to make that vote. I mean, you're voted into a it's not an office. The Electoral College is not voting into an office, but you're put in that position to direct your votes. And if you're completely against all of the people who voted you in there and who gave you that position, then you're not going to be back again. So I don't think they can continue to do that and continue to exist.
Well, if you're in Obama, he'd be in his last term that he could constitutionally have. He doesn't care. All he cares about is getting back into office. You know, if he can do it through the Electoral College, then, you know, so be it. But I guess
looking
at the history,
he can't control the Electoral College any more than we can.
No, he can't. Except he can try and woo them and, you know, do the sound bites and try and convince them that way. But no, you're right. It's supposed to be, the Electoral College is supposed to be people that are just people per se. But, you know, still, you know, it can happen.
Well, anything can happen. But I don't think it's we're even going to have to worry about that. I think we're going to have a lot more separation in that. It's becoming too apparent that everybody basically wants to get rid of Obama and to get rid of the things that are going on. However, you know, there are an awful lot of people. We sit here and we talk about how terrible Obama is. I've been and listened to a lot of particular radio shows and watched things on television. There are a lot of people who think Obama's doing a great job. And ready or not, he has done some things that are good. The whole point is the economy has got to be the big answer. It's what it's got to be because we've got somebody else calling again.
Yeah, well, I'm going to bring them in here right now. Area code 267. As soon as the computer cooperates. Come on. There we go.
Hi, this is
267,
Brian Paul.
Welcome to the show.
How you doing today?
Pretty good. Yourself?
I'm doing good. I was listening to your conversation. I just think the biggest problem I just think is just the money, and it's just clear to me that when there's a really, really important issue, as much as the Time magazine and the mainstream media bellyaches about a lack of bipartisanship, I mean, there's a tremendous amount of bipartisanship when you have a really bad piece of legislation coming down, whether it's a piece of legislation that gives the president a blank check for another war, or whether it's something to, another bad trade bill to offshore our jobs, or whether it's something to, that ensures that our borders stay open, or whether it's something like the National Defense Authorization Act. I just think, I even though we have the internet now, I've just become more and more skeptical of any kind of real change because, we're going to get an establishment Democrat or Republican elected.
I agree that we're getting somewhat of an establishment person elected, but at this particular point, I'd certainly rather have someone who's been there, done that, than someone like the one we got who has no experience at absolutely anything and has decided that he can push anything he wants to through. And the biggest problem, and it's the thing that worries me again with the next election, is that at that particular time, he had Democratic everything. Everything was on his side. He didn't have to worry about what to do. He just made up his mind what to do, and then everybody followed along, unfortunately. But I'm worried that this is liable to turn just the opposite direction, and we're going to have Republican everything. So we need to have somebody in there who has enough smarts to not just walk all over everyone and everything again. And that's where I'm still a Newt Gingrich fan, because he's been there. He's worked with people across the aisle and worked with the different groups support and can pull people together. We've got to have somebody, instead of stepping on everyone, that tries to work with other people. And either one, Romney or Gingrich at this particular point, I think could do a good job of that. I just think I'd rather have the one in there that has had the experience and has done that before at this particular time. I'm looking for experience instead of whatever.
Well, I'm very critical of Obama, too, but I guess I come across it as a different angle. I mean, I know that he betrayed himself as an anti-establishment outside candidate, but really, if you look at, the major legislation that he's pushed, I mean, it's establishment legislation all the way. The trade agreements with Korea and in Panama and Colombia, the largest free trade agreement since Bill Clinton was in office, when Clinton and Gingrich were working together to pass those trade agreements. I mean, that was the signature, domestic legislation, along with a health care bill that basically said, well, if you're an insurance company, now everybody's got to buy health care, so you got 35 to 40 million new customers. The cap and trade climate change, that's been an establishment, the carbon taxes, that's been an establishment pet cause for decades. And something that, by the way, Gingrich and Romney have also supported at different times. You look at the increased military spending in wars. I mean, that's something that Bush and the Republicans were doing, and before that, the Democrats were doing. So, I mean, I know that some of the Republican criticism of Obama is somehow that he's this outside the establishment guy and doesn't know how to reach across the aisle. But my judgment, problem with Obama is he's a card-carrying member of the establishment. And he's just, the difference is, as opposed to Bush or Gingrich or Romney, instead of being a part of the Republican establishment, he's part of the Democratic establishment. And that, to me, is my criticism would come from.
We're going to have to call it quit. We've only got less than 60 seconds left of the program. I appreciate your call. Next time you'll come in and call again.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
We can go ahead and continue this on the archives if
you want. No, let's just call it a day. But it's good to hear someone call. We need to have people calling more. But we are out of time at this particular point, so we're going to call it a day ourselves. And let's, you know, we've got to get people to call in earlier next time because we do run out of time.
Absolutely. Definitely call us back next Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific time. And even if we're talking about a different subject, give us a call, express your opinion. We can change directions, as you know, very quickly.
That's it. Have a good day, everybody, and I really appreciate your listening to us.
And thank you for calling. Good call. And call us back next week. We'll see you again next week, Monday, 1 p.m. Pacific. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.